is your interlocutor.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
We have got the fights this weekend. Last weekend.
Yeah.
I managed to watch nearly all of it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It was good because I jumped on Mysteries and got the prelims. So I watched a load of them.
Right.
And then I got a stream and watched the... Because in the prelims, there was some fucking barn burners.
Yeah. I didn't see some of the prelims. Where was I? Cage Warriors. We were coming back from Cage Warriors.
Well, did you see all the... Are we recording, by the way?
Yes. Wonderful. Okay.
Hello and welcome.
Hello. Hello, everybody, and welcome. We are recording.
Cool. First one from last week. I just wanted to see if you'd seen all the backlash and stuff about the Thomas Gifford. Did you watch the fight where he was basically... He was getting beaten up for three rounds. And Bisping the whole time was like, it's got to be stopped. It should have been stopped.
No, I haven't seen that one. No, I started halfway through the first fight on the main card.
Okay.
Because we were at Cage Warriors until what? Midnight? About that. Something like that. So we were driving back to the hotel and we watched them when we got back to the hotel. So I think we started with the main card, didn't we?
Okay. Well, it was only essentially...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I'd switched the fights on halfway through. And then once I'd watched this, I was straight into War Room for Reyes and Weidman, which is up, so go and check that out. And
looking good.
Yeah, 25,000 views, people are liking it.
Nice.
And then Inside the Octagon. We had two Inside the Octagons to do, so I've not had a chance to catch up with the fights.
Okay.
So
we don't have to justify yourself. You can tell
me about them.
I will tell you about them. One thing I do need to mention real quick first... Before we go on to fights, because I'm conscious that... Do you want me to tighten it up?
No. I'm just making sure it's not going to move.
We're good. And there's no pooch to sit on the table.
I'm at the heavy end. See, the thing is with this table, there's one heavy end. Which
I am counterbalancing you the whole time.
Oh, okay. That's true.
I don't wanna...
But you take your arm off that and it's going to smash me in the face, isn't it?
Yeah, it's safe for a comedy moment.
It'd be like the Only Fools and Horses, like leaning through the bar moment.
Hold on. We're in here.
I would never... That would stay with me for the rest of my life.
I'd love it.
It would be a gif.
If I come in wearing a donkey jacket or like a camel coat.
Yeah.
Why are you dressed up like Trigger? So it is someone's birthday and they are seven and they asked, or his dad's messaged me. And I was very conscious that I didn't want him to have to listen to the whole podcast and us talking about so much random...
That's a good shout.
Inappropriate stuff. Imagine.
That's good forethought.
So... It's Jackson, the Destroyer's birthday.
Oh, nice one, Jackson. Very cool.
So he doesn't want to hear me talk. I think he just wants to hear you say happy
very
birthday.
Very cool. Jackson, happy birthday. I hope training's going well, man. Your haircut always looks great. It makes me very jealous.
So just a small backstory of this dude, because he's a seven-year-old psychopath. He's got a red mohawk. He
came to one of my seminars one time.
Dude.
He was fully kitted out. It was like a miniature version of me. Like mohawk, he had... All the old gear that I used to wear, sandy gloves. And
yeah, he's all over it.
Yeah,
all
it was very cool.
So I hope you've had, I think his birthday, it's either today or yesterday.
Right.
But obviously this will be going out today. So yeah. I just thought, the thing is you can turn off now, Jackson. We are going to be talking about boobs and stuff. And
No. That was good thinking, though. That's good thinking.
That's probably the only good thought I've had today. I've got parents evening later, so I've got to try and save all
You get to sit on those little tiny chairs.
It's ridiculous.
Get me one of those chairs.
Dude,
bring me
you can literally
chair
put them in
bring
your
me,
pocket.
Yeah, bring me one back. I want one of those. There must be some on eBay.
See, I get
Let's see if I can find one on eBay right
why
now.
Why not? I'll rob you some today. I get a serious death stare.
That would not be good at parents' day, would it? If the first thing that you did was rob the chair that
it's
you
what
sat
they
on.
Expect.
It's what they expect.
So if I don't deliver, it's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I normally...
Mr. Oxley, your daughters have already stolen chairs this week.
They have. I'll punish them at home. Dan said he'd give you a fiver a chair.
Yeah, we need a full set.
That's it.
We need a set of forks. We have a miniature dining table.
Well, we can film it from a distance and it makes your house look even bigger. It's like, how far away are they?
We'll have Mark Goddard sit on it so he looks massive.
Dude, it would be like Goldilocks version of Goddard. Goddardilocks. Going in and sitting on the smallest chair.
School chairs. I am actually genuinely looking on eBay.
Have a look. I mean, I get a serious death stare off Stace 2 minutes before we go in, and she just looks at me and says, "Don't talk." And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "You can't swear. We're at primary school.
You've got no chance."
Okay. And I just have to sit there really quiet while they're saying, "They don't concentrate very well. They're easily distracted." I'm like, "You're reading my school report." Like... Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm saying, like, I wonder if blades of grass have thoughts.
There's a reason he's always got a pocket full of coins. It's because he's always got something to flip and play with.
Yeah, the fidget spinners were invented for me. Imagine if we had fidget spinners and shit when we were at school.
I'm definitely buying a small school chair. That's the kind of thing that my mum would appreciate as well. She likes old shit, don't she?
I'll get you one. I'll try and get you one.
She just bought a rocking horse.
A full
like
tilt.
Like a proper rocking horse. Like one of those, like the old mechanical bars and stuff. It's sitting right in the front room at the moment.
We had one that if you really rocked it, you could get it to go up and over again. Like the cages at the fairground. Can you remember the cages?
Yeah.
Tough guys got in there. I nearly got stabbed outside one of them cages at Mark Eaton Park.
Oh, fun.
There was a guy stood behind us and he had, you know, the masks you wear for a moped or a motorbike, and it's like a neoprene mask that covers your nose, like a Sub-Zero mask for those on audio. And he was just a typical dude. And I turned around and I was like, "Where's your fucking bike?" And he went, "What'd you say?" And I was like, "Where's your bike? You got a bike? What'd you say, fam?" And I was like, "Where's your bike?" And he was like, "Do you want me to make you wet?" And I was like,
"You're not my type.
What are you talking about?" That's weird. And I was 16, 17, so I was properly wet behind the ears. And my mate turned around and said, "He's got a knife in his hand." I was like, "Oh, nah, I don't want that." And the whole time we're on these cages and he just dead-eyed me, rocking the halo thing. And I'm fucking 5 foot nothing in this big yellow puffer jacket thinking, I'm going to die tonight. I ran so fast.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those moments.
Yeah, you'd probably punch them back, but I was Mom.
There was one time I was stuck on a forecourt of a petrol station, and at the outside ring of the petrol station, it was on like half a traffic island in Nottingham, and all the way around the outside, there was this group of guys that had come to find me at the pub. They were a mob. Yeah, like 12 or 15 of them.
Fuck.
And I had nowhere to go, but they couldn't come into the petrol station because of all the cameras. So
they couldn't come in, were you like, what?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, there's a power cut, and all the lights go off. I'm like, that means the cameras aren't working.
So,
anymore.
Did you not have a car or anything?
I had nothing. No, I'd. Okay, here's the beginning of the story.
I was about to say, we need a bit more of this.
Well, there was a bigger boy at school that had previously been kicked out of school for trouble causing and, well, stabbing someone with a screwdriver was what he got kicked out of school for.
Phillips or flathead?
I don't know, to be honest. I wonder if that makes a difference with the retraction of the...
Well, I think a Phillips is more aggro. You really want to fucking stab someone with a Phillips. Mm. A flathead's going in.
Yeah.
Whereas a Phillips, that's a crime of passion. Do you know what I mean? You find one in my neck one day, it's definitely going to be a Phillips.
So... I'd had a disagreement with this guy's younger brother at school earlier that day. I was walking through the corridor and he wanted to get in my way and I was having none of it. So I gave him a little Sparta kick.
Yes.
And there were two sets. Remember those swinging doors that go both ways?
Oh, they trap your fingers right? like a motherfucker.
Well, there was a set of those, you know, with the grid glass so it won't shatter.
The wire in
the proper safety glass. So... there were the swinging doors and then there was another set of solid wooden doors. It was a big old school I used to go to.
How fucking hard did you kick it?
Yeah, well, there was about a meter between the two. But the second set of doors, they were bolted shut.
Okay.
And as I Sparta kicked him, he went through the first set of swinging doors, which swung open, hit his head on the door that was locked behind him, and then the other door swung back closed on his legs.
Ooh.
So it was a bit of a bad spot to be in.
That was your first murder.
And I just, turned around and left. So later that night, no, that was it. I just left. Later that night, this must have been a Friday because I was at the pub that night. I'd normally be in the pub. All my mates used to play in bands and stuff. So we were hanging out in the pub. They were playing bands and whatever. And for some reason, we were out at the back of the pub in the dark, sitting on the swings.
Okay.
Having a little break from the inside of the pub.
Of course,
the
drinking. Smoky.
Well, it was smoky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I see these two cars pull up and all these guys get out these cars and then they open the boot and they get all these bats and
one leg on a stretcher with his leg in plaster.
I'm like, oh, I recognise half of those guys. And they went into the pub, clearly looking for me. So I took that opportunity to make a sharp exit.
Of course.
I left the pub, I went straight over to the petrol station to make a phone call because I didn't have a mobile phone.
Of course not.
I had a pager.
Yeah.
No mobile phone, though, back in the day. That could have saved my
life.
Did
you give him on three rings? Just three rings?
No. I called an emergency airdrop with a couple of friends of mine.
Yeah, quick.
Who had motorbikes. So they I went over and called them, and I was at the petrol station on the payphone. I'm like, I could do with a bit of help over here. They'd realised that I'd left, and they'd come over to the petrol station, so they were just kind of standing around the petrol station.
Oh, shit. Like that Game of Thrones bit where the water is and the walkers can't get on the water.
Exactly. Like, I couldn't leave. It was exactly like that. Like a ring of fire keeping them out on the outside.
Was your bum old 50p, 20p?
I was a little bit panicking, but it was a good adrenaline rush at the same time. And then I heard the rasp of motorbikes in the distance.
Were they motorbikes or were they peds?
No, motorbikes.
So it's like a wee.
No, these were proper boys. They were like... I'm like...
Yeah, rock.
Everything's good. Now what?
Yeah.
You can hear the bikes, boys. Now what? You know it's happening. And then they all left.
Trouble is, I know I'd be on the back of that bike giving it some. What? They're running. And, just go, and just like, beaver some butthead out of the boot, just down the fucking road. It's like, they'd get to me and go, beat himself up.
Yeah, that's it.
One more punch, he's dead.
A couple of photos for Instagram. That's it. Yeah. So that's it. That was a fun story. That was a night in my, what was I, 16?
That, but shit like that used to happen a lot where it was just a case that it got arranged. Someone would be like, you're going to get your head kicked. And you're like, me? The amount of times they were never looking behind me. And I was like, ah. And because I was quite quick, my mouth would get me into so much fucking trouble. I can remember, I probably said it before, I was getting beaten up in the pens, which is like the football pens or the tennis courts, and we used to go
not the penitentiary.
No, down in the doing 20-10 in the pen, in the tennis courts, and like if there was a fight, you'd go down there. And I can remember going down there, and I just got my head kicked in. Basically, it was getting it over and done with, because you know when you're waiting for a fight, it's just a bit wank.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
So you're like, oh god, come on! Just if someone comes over and cold cocks you, like, righto, had enough, cool, feel better, see you later. So I'd go down there, and I was ready for this fight, and like four or five lads started putting the boot in, and they were like, "You had enough?" And I was like, "Why are your feet hurting?" And they carry on. And I'm like, you "Fucking shut the fuck up!" So that's where my brain damage probably stems from—just saying shit, stupid shit.
That's how Darren Brown got good at stuff, though, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's his story. Was it like counting marbles or something on the floor that
while he was getting his head kicked in?
It was like that was his escape.
I don't know.
So maybe you got a superpower out of it that you've not discovered yet.
Yeah, maybe my anal element of graphic fucking lining stuff up. Well, the tennis court tram lines. I'm like, I don't know. I got a bit of a shoe in, but the problem was, I bear a grudge quite hard, and I can remember because my dad was from Sheffield and he was the cock of the school. Like, he didn't take any shit. And I always grew up knowing that he was hard as fuck. And once I went to his house and he was talking to me and he was like, you're not having any trouble, are you? And I was like, no. So I thought to myself, I've got to redeem myself a little bit, go on a bit of a Chuck Liddell, like, just get all my losses back. Do you know what I mean? So it was almost like I waited for each lad in different places. And there was one lad that was... He was going to be next playing for England for football before this incident. And he was like, Billy fucking Wiz, superstar of the school. He'd have had a Letterman jacket if we were in America. And there's me, fucking 4'8", curtains, purple, dyed purple, because that's what we could find. I looked like a match. And I went and stood in this games closet, like this cupboard, where all the stuff was, shot puts, cricket bats and all that sort of stuff. And I picked the biggest shot put up I could find. And just waited. And he came in, I dropped it on his leg. And I was like, there you go, that's you fucking done. And I went and tried to find each one, which was a genius idea in my mind. But it was after I got the second or third lad, word got round really quick that, like, I'm doing this sort of revenge.
This John Wick.
And the problem was then that I got my head kicked in again because I was doing that. So, yeah. But, I pretty much... ended his career, I think.
I like the inventiveness of that.
Fuck
shot
that
put.
Guy. Yeah, right. That's what I could pick up. Is that or a javelin?
Yeah.
As he comes out the cupboard, boom.
You might still be inside.
Just go out, just like, I only kicked you once. It's like, yeah, well.
Yeah. Just dead. Yeah. That's it.
I just held the other guy's jacket. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. If you were really good, you could line them up and get them, like, kebab them. You get a few on a skill.
Could you imagine?
Or just walk around school with the first one.
Yeah.
Where's the next one?
Do you see? Do you fucking see? He's like, bring him up, mum.
Oh, I got a great shot the other day. So I've recently reconnected my Xbox One to the TV because it's been retired for a while.
Nice.
And I thought, I'll get it out. I've got an old sniper game that I could really lose 2 hours in quite nicely. And I lined this perfect shot up and I got 3 guys in a row the other day. Oh,
that's geeking
out. It was beautiful.
Isn't that when you stand up and look around there? To, like,
oh, and then there's nobody here.
There's no one here.
Yeah.
No one will ever be here.
Yeah. And then I realise I'm celebrating killing people.
And also
probably definitely something going wrong in my brain.
No, because it's the shot. I'm not allowed to play that game with my friends because I'm too leery. Mm. So like they're all being super stealth and going, wait until you hear a bell. When like a lorry drives past, you can take a shot. And I'm like, all they see is like this fucking nothing just going, what? Fucking just going full, like Adesanya, just fucking in the middle. Just, and the, you've got to be stealth. I'm like, fuck, they're boring. Fucking come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to.
You're the guy running down the street with the flare in Jurassic Park.
Too right. Yeah.
You're that guy.
Yeah. My mates have stopped playing a lot of games with me.
Have they?
Like Red Dead. They were dead serious. One bloke was stopping and feeding his horse and pushing it. And I was like, so I just shot it. I was like, now what? Fucking let's ride into the town. Come on, let's do some shit. And we did a mission and the mission took 4 days and we got $8. So I was like, what? So we rode to the next village and I beat the shit out of like 20 people and got about 400. I was thinking, lads, we're outlaws. Yeah. Fuck this noise. Like, steal a horse.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, fucking real.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're not allowed to play that anymore either. So that got sacked.
You just play on your own. You're a one-man bandit now.
Yeah. But I think we might get Wadley back. I spoke to Wad last week and I was telling him that Friday night is PlayStation night and his ears pricked up. We went from talking about accounts and spreadsheets and I was like, yo, you want to shoot some people and get baked? And he was like, well, yeah. PlayStation or real life? It's like a bit of column A, a little of column B. So I think hopefully we might be able to get him back on.
Yeah, nice.
Which would be good.
Nice.
He's too quick. I'm old, man. I'm old as
wide
dog shit.
He's still on Tetris, man. He's still on Tetris.
I can play old shit.
I've not tried it.
Yeah, but that to me is hide and seek. So I don't shoot anyone on that because I normally play World War II and it's fucking manic as shit and I get enough kills because there's basically my bullets will land in someone somewhere. It's not a lot of thinking. There's just, it's a small enough map. I'm going to hit someone. I don't feel bad about myself. When we play hide and seek.
You've got to move around the mic. Yeah. That's Liam Gallagher. There we go.
When we play hide and seek, which basically you get dropped out of a helicopter as a team and the map gets smaller. So you just have to keep moving in.
Right.
So you move it, you run into a house and there's guns and equipment and shit. And there's 50 other teams of 4 people and you have to be the last one standing. So I don't do bad collecting stuff. I don't do bad hiding. But then I'll see someone. I'm like, there's someone. And bear in mind, by this point, I'm fucking baked. And I'm like, there's someone. Poof, miss by a country mile. And he gives me, I don't know, 20 shots at him. And he just basically walks up and puts me out of my misery and just fucking injects me with whatever they put in a dog to put it down. They're like, dead, fuck off. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you have to be stealthy and quick. Yeah. Yeah, I can't do that. Because then there's a lot of times when you get shot, but only enough to be down. So then you're literally doggy style, panting with a screen going red and black. And you're like, walking out, and there's a guy stood over you, and he could kill you at any point. And you know, he's just like, hey, lads, look at that. And he's like teabagging you or whatever he's doing. It's fucking horrible. So, yeah,
I don't play anything online. I deal with people in real life enough. I don't want to have to deal with them in game world as well.
We only have party chat. I can't handle like public chat because when there's a room of 14 people. You guarantee there's some shitbird in there that like it could like we used to have there was an American kid that would drop in and he'd just be Harry Potter crumpets tea with the Queen. Like, what are you saying? Are you spent your quid? I was like, what is that an insult?
Yeah.
Are you insulting me by saying quid and Harry Potter? Fuck off. There's a lot of shit I could say about you, but I'm not going to. But then eventually, I clearly would say a lot of shit about him. So, yeah. Again, I got banned and now I can only stay in party chat.
Mm. Yeah, no, I ain't got time to be talking to people in real life. I don't really play games much anymore. I get really into a game occasionally for a good couple of months, like Assassin's Creed or Fallout, and I'll get into it and I'll get stuck on it for a while. And then I'll kind of manage to detox after I get about 60% into it. I'm like, nah.
To celebrate how much you've done? It's like, well done, you've done 60%.
No, it's when you save it and it tells you how many hours that you've done.
Yeah.
It's like 47 hours. I'm like, that's nearly 2 whole days. Yeah. Like, I could be learning a language at this point. I could learn guitar, you know?
Yeah, but you know the map of Rome circa 1642, so yeah, it kind of works.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, it is dangerous, but it's scary to think of what we used to play. I went to Costco the other day and they've got a Pac-Man cabinet,
mm-hmm.
which is cool as shit, like a proper arcade machine, but just Pac-Man. And I was like,
yeah.
Who the fuck would want to, like, that, even that when you bought up, minutes, grew up with Pac-Man, you'd be like, oh, got to do that again. It's shit. It's like when we had games back, like, years ago, there was no save.
Mm-hmm.
You had to start from the fucking beginning, like playing Streets of Rage or something like that. And you go, do you want to play this to the end? And you may be like, yeah, I'm just going to get my sleeping bag and 7 bags of crisps and a 2-litre bottle of Coke. You're like, cool. That's late on. You're on about PlayStation 1, N64. Like the SNES, the Mega Drive, Master System, none of them had saves.
So
like
Golden Axe?
Golden Axe, yeah. And Alex the Kid. So some games Double were Dragon. Built into the machine. Yeah. Double Dragon. And you'd switch it on about dun, 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 dun. And you'd have to play the whole fucking game. And that's when TV would give you static that would poltergeist you into the next fucking world. But it's insane to think now, like Mario Kart's on the fucking phone.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lose a lot of time on a Friday.
Yeah.
I just wake up Saturday morning and be like, something happened. Something happened.
So tell me about the fights from the weekend then. Okay. What did you enjoy?
I enjoyed a lot of it. So there was I went for prelims first,
mm-hmm.
and Tim Elliott came out, and I like Tim Elliott a lot. Yeah.
I liked him earlier.
And there were.
It concerns me he won't look at his opponents at face-offs.
Yeah, kind of weird. And he's growing this mullet now, so he is full gas station Tim Elliott.
Like,
there's that my brother cousin. Do you know what I mean? Full killer. Like, don't leave any witnesses ever.
Uh-huh.
And he got caught in a really quick guillotine.
Mm.
And it was insane because it was one of them where, did he go for a takedown? I think he went for a takedown and then just ended up in this ridiculous guillotine and tapped pretty quick. So I was gutted with that. But then the Morono and Max Griffin was a wicked fight.
Kill him with his microphone.
Sorry, dude.
There we go.
There you go. I'll look out the corner of my eye.
Why don't we just tape it to the side of his head next time?
Just here?
Yeah.
So I can have like a
like
a
Fear and Loathing. Britney. You know that scene out of Fear and Loathing when he wakes up in the morning and he's got the lizard tail? He's got the velociraptor tail and the microphone's just taped to his head. Just like real crudely around his head.
We can do that.
Maybe we should try
it. It's going to come keen when I take it off.
The lapel mics. Well, I think maybe we'll maybe it's
that
point
is
we'll
just admitting you're a special kid, though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, we need it for Mark Goddard. He cannot talk into a microphone.
I can live with that. If Mark gets
was
that
better,
treatment,
though,
I can take that.
He was better, but then what Mark would do is he'd talk away from the microphone, and then he'd put it right close to his. Sorry for that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's literally,
and he's the one that hates.
Yeah.
The old mastication.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so Morono and Max Griffin was a good fight.
Right.
Really good fight. It was back and
Alex
forth.
Alex Morono's always in wars as well, isn't he?
Yeah, ridiculous. And Max Griffin looks like a character out of Mortal Kombat.
He does.
He looks a bit like Jax.
Yeah, it looks like he should have like metal arms.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is that Jax in it?
There you
go. Yeah, perfect.
Hive brain. So that was good. So Mike Davis fought Thomas Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all the controversy came from because Bisping spent, I think it was 45 minutes of the 15 minutes saying that fight should have been stopped. And then he blamed the ref and he blamed the corner. And to be fair to him, it's fucking tricky, man.
Yeah.
When it's a fight and someone's taking a lot of shots, there is a lot of those times when people have come back and done a spinning back fist or something and gone, they can't remember their kid's name now, but they got the win. And it is a massive toss up between, you never see a fighter say, I don't want to carry on.
Mm.
And it's just never done. So it was a weird thing because you're hearing Bisping pretty much hitting that line along the whole fight. And there was a couple of times where he caught him, but nothing serious. But he eventually, you remember when Paulie knocked out Scott Smith and he just went like a plank, like a tree falling. He went like, he fell like that. And Bisping was just like, happy now? Happy now? Just like when you tell your kids, this is going to end in tears. If you climb up there, you're going to, don't come running to me when you've hurt yourself. And literally this kid fell and just face planted and Bisping was like, happy now? And you couldn't disagree with him.
Mm.
So, but I mean, the kid's come out since then and said, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm in for it for life, whatever. So you think, fair enough. So it was interesting because as much as, if you were watching it on mute, you'd just be gunning for him all the time to land something because he was a massive underdog. So like, take away the fact of how dangerous it was, and obviously he's lost some of his memory or whatever. the fact that you thought that he might just land something was keeping you interested. Then where did I go to? Because I lost a couple of minutes. Oh yeah, it was Eric Anders and Mershart, which was decent. Then obviously the start of the card was Luis Peña. Do you see how he kicked off afterwards?
Yeah,
fuming.
Yeah, how did you score it? We were talking and stuff, and so I need to, I'm going to go back and watch the whole card. I paid full attention to the co-main and main event, so that's what I really want to talk about.
We'll jump there in a sec. So I think the Luis Peña never looks in trouble,
mm-hmm.
and he always looks slick.
Yeah,
and that's the difference. Like Matt was throwing a lot, and he wasn't as crisp or as clean, but he's in his hometown and he was fucking busy constantly. Mm-hmm. He took him down. I didn't have an issue with it either way, but I think because Peña is so slick, a bit like Anderson Silva or even like a Nick Diaz, where Nick Diaz did this in the past quite a lot, where he wouldn't give it, he wouldn't commit to finish and then would be fuming that he lost, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times I think that Nick probably won decisions and it was whatever reason that he didn't get it. But it was a bit along them lines. Like, Peña, he even came out on his Instagram and was like, you know, I won that fight, boy, and all this. Come on, dude.
I think sometimes as well, fighters, the memory that you have of the fight immediately after can be very obscured in comparison to what actually happened.
Okay.
Like, there have been fights that I've watched that I felt like I was all over the guy. And then I'm watching it back thinking, oh, he was actually catching me some shots.
Coming.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, I think sometimes it's the way people fight. And as you said, if it was in Frivola's hometown, every time he did something significant, the crowd would have it's got to make a difference. I wonder whether it affects me during commentary, but I don't hear the crowd too much because I've got a headset on.
Yeah,
and my headset is predominantly the other two people that I'm talking. Well, one or two, depending on who's there, and then if the truck needs to speak to me, I get that as well. So you know,
you do have to put that to the back of your brain quite a lot. Yeah. It was interesting. You were talking to Mark about it on Listen, which was wicked, by the way. I really enjoyed it. I listened to it when I was walking the dogs. But it was when Izzy didn't land that kill shot on Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you were watching it with Nick and thought that it was the end of the fight. I think I was watching it on quite low volume because it was at night. But it's how Mark channels into that.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally counting down 10 seconds, stopping fires. But then we mentioned it last week, but I think we mentioned it with Cal, not with Jimmy. And it was more how zoned in he was on Rob. And you asked him a question to say, do you start focusing on a certain fighter if you feel like they're getting the worst of the exchange? And when you start realizing that, because I thought the Listen podcast again was fantastic, but I didn't think it was any different to the previous one, which was also fantastic. What then made me start thinking was all these negative elements and things like, because a lot of people came back and were going, oh my God, I think of Mark as a normal bloke now. And it's like, what the fuck do you have to do to not see that the first time? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost 7 months lost of good content that people could have heard about and listened to. And I'm glad that he's taking his time and he's got to where he wants to be able to put this out there. But it was to think of what Mark has to concentrate on and go through is fucking huge.
Yeah.
To be the third man in the cage for these massive events and these massive things that people are expecting so much from.
Massive.
And
57,000 people watching in the arena, and then how many watching on pay-per-view?
And the decisions he's making have got to be above and beyond justified. But he's then thinking about the fighter safety of this guy that's essentially just been bingoed.
Mm-hmm.
He's also thinking about Izzy and how that's going to kick off if he does win or whatever. And the amount of hats he's got to wear and tune out,
mm-hmm.
tune out 57,000 people,
mm-hmm.
but listen to bells and horns and everything else.
Yep.
Fuck me.
Yeah, yeah.
Bananas.
And, like, and the thing is, and there were two moments in that fight that if they'd have gone a different way, like the amount of shit that he would have caught on Twitter the next day. One more punch lands after the bell. Or he had gotten to Rob late after, because Rob was turned away and he was on the wrong side of that situation. So he put himself in the right place so he could see Rob, and he didn't know he wasn't able to defend himself. Like, there are two things there, but because it didn't go wrong, it's didn't accepted. Go wrong. It's just not mentioned. Yeah. But like in those moments, and occasionally, you know, like those high pressure situations, everyone's going to have an opinion about them. It's like Aspen Ladd is appealing her loss to Jermaine Durandamy now.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It's done. It's done. No one thinks any less. If there's a controversial element attached to it, it'll always be there. No one ever watched that fight and go, pussy.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the way it is. Yeah. Like, you could look at it and think, all right, fair enough. But it's almost, to me, it's a bit wasted energy. When I read that about her, I was like, leave it.
Yeah. Like, look forward.
Move forward. Keep cracking on. Because if it was a lucky punch, or if it was stopped early, or whatever you want to class it as, there's nothing stopping you climbing the ladder. No one's thinking any less of you.
No.
And I used to think that a lot with Andre's fights, because Andre had a wicked relationship with Dana and was always in really exciting fights. I think it was sometimes his energy that would have made it so it was easy for him to go, if that makes sense. Because Andre was always in a really exciting fight, no matter what he did. So I think sometimes when they almost make it a problem by putting their name out there in a bit of a negative light, that, because to have a conversation with Dana after the fight, I go, that was stopped early, and him go, yeah, I see what you're saying. Don't worry about it. We're good. That's enough. To then start proceedings.
Yeah.
You're like, come on.
It's a while after the fight happened.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. And the other thing as well, I think in hindsight, she'll be able to see it as a good opportunity to have not fought Amanda Nunes too soon.
Yes.
You know, because if she'd have won the fight, she would have been fighting Amanda Nunes next. And she's not ready for Amanda Nunes. Nah. Jermaine Durandamy might not be ready for Amanda Nunes.
No.
That was difficult to say. Jermaine Durandamy might not be ready for Amanda Nunes.
Jermaine Durandamy a lot as a Bisping character. She's been there forever. She's solid. Yeah. She can go through a war. But it's almost that last minute 2-week fight camp to go, surprise champion, you've got a different opponent. And she goes, I'm here. And it's a tough opponent there.
Yeah.
Bisping obviously got that win, which was incredible, but I can see that's her path more so than, she's in the mix still, but she's obviously of an older generation.
Yeah, well, she's got a more one-sided skill set. I mean, she's been working a lot on her grappling, but I don't think there's enough time in her athletic career to be able to bring her grappling up to where her striking is.
No. So and nowhere near Nunes.
No. But Nunes is, I would say Amanda Nunes is striking it. I mean, it's not as good as Jermaine Durand. I mean, I'm quite comfortable making that statement. It's effective. She hits hard, but so does Durandamy. But then
she seems a bit more ruthless to me. She's a bit more...
Who?
Amanda. Seems a bit more animal aggressive, whereas...
I don't know,
Durandamy just seems a bit more sniper, a bit more precise.
Let me tell you a little... In fact, there's an interview coming out soon, because I did interview Jermaine. I think it's coming out... it'll be coming out fight week for that event, when she's fighting Amanda, I think. But there was a event that I fought on. It was called Too Hot to Handle in Holland.
Too cold to hold.
Nice. And it was a pretty cool event. It was in a ring. It was a tournament I was entering, and it was like, anyway, my involvement in the event doesn't matter. When I was there, I was able to watch Tyrone Spong.
Nice.
Like
original Tyrone Spong.
Original Tyrone Spong, when he was like 80 kilos, when he was a lot lighter, a lot faster.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jermaine Durandamy was on the card. And I can't remember the fighter's name that she was up against, but she was fighting this French girl. And I think there was a lot of trash talking before the fight, and Jermaine just backed her up into the corner and tie clinched her and just kneed her face to just a mess. It was brutal to watch. Wow. And Jermaine's a killer. Jermaine's legit, especially if it's in her range. I just think we've seen her a little bit more hesitant in MMA because of the takedowns.
Maybe that's it. You know? Maybe, because I'm not saying that she's not an effective striker by any stretch. When I see Amanda... It all started with Misha Tate.
Mm-hmm.
Just the savagery that... I mean, it must be hard to hit Misha Tate. Do you know what I mean? She seems like a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So when Amanda sort of went in there and was just like, nope, and just great full cyborg, you're like, okay.
Yeah, that's a great fight. But then again, it could be very one-sided if the fight does hit the floor. I'm interested to see what Jermaine's added to her game. But anyway, we went off on a...
Well, on a tangent, imagine that.
I want to talk about Kron Gracie and Cub Swanson.
Well, just real quick then, Nico Price and James Vick. Wow.
Yeah. He's wild though, Nico Price. You watch his fights
every
time. Like, he's one of those guys that you don't want to spar with because he's going to accidentally catch you with an elbow that's going to give you 10 stitches.
Yeah.
You know,
he
like
was
awkward,
fuming.
All elbows and knees.
Yeah.
Like thinks of an idea and lashes out immediately. Yeah. And if it works in fights, but it would also work in sparring. So you don't want to spar with that guy.
No, because it's always coming different stuff. But he just
he's knocked someone out with an upkick in sparring before. No
all
doubt.
Day. Did you think that Herb was a bit late trying to get round to that?
Well,
was that Herb or was that more? Because it seemed like The up kick, he was done.
Yeah.
And he caught four or five.
It's just the positioning, wasn't it? I mean, it looked... Did he not fall into his guard? Did
yeah,
not,
kind of. Yeah. And Price almost pushed his hips.
God, I'd watched so much MMA this weekend. It's ridiculous.
It was scary.
It's all morphing into one big fight.
just like a Power Ranger face off, or just like morph into like six fighters into one.
It's just a big mess of bodies punching each other. It's like a Cannibal Corpse album cover. It's a mess.
So
I can't separate any of it.
What happens to James Vick now?
I don't know. He's got to stay at this weight class because he's just too big for lightweight. He's another guy that's caught between the weight classes. This is going to be my weekly update on the 162 weight class and how it's not happening and it should.
Dude. Well, you look at Vic. He went almost unbeaten and he's had four losses on the bounce and it's three of them are KOs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Stefan moving backwards. I didn't realize he was
I made this likeness yesterday when we were doing Inside the Octagon. Like the tall guys do get backed up. I said Vic and Stefan Struve. When you back taller guys up, they have a tendency to bring their head out of the way because usually when they're fighting people when they're sparring with people in the gym, like if I'm sparring in a gym and I'm sparring with someone sensible and we're not trying to kill each other, our shots are probably somewhere between 70 and 80% power.
Okay.
Right? That extra 20% is the venom. That's where you're trying to hurt someone. Yeah. And most good fighters, if they choose to and if they've got the control, they can leave that out, right? I've completely lost my train of thought.
Vic being told,
That was it. I went off on a bit of a tangent in my head then. I was thinking about sparring sessions. So when you're sparring with someone and you're taller than them in sparring, most of the time they don't have that extra 20% commitment, which would catch you if you're leaning back.
Okay.
You know,
it's that line again.
Exactly. So a lot of the time, people like James Vick will get away with so much in sparring because people are not committing that extra 20%. Yeah. He's slipping back and he's slipping out the way of shots. But when you're just engaging and you're committing 100% to that overhand.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to land it. And I think his tendency to lean back. I think the same with Struve.
And there's no defense there.
He can't get away with it in fights nearly as much. But he's just too tall for lightweight. There's no doubt about it. He's got to stay at this weight class.
But at one point, if he beat Gaethje, he was one fight away from a title.
Mm.
I think he was making a big noise for it. I mean, I think when we watched that, I was like, I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And I'll always pick Gaethje, but I was still, because he was on such a rise, I was like, man, this could be a hard fight for Gaethje.
Yeah.
How wrong was I? But it was it's interesting to see how it changes instantly after he catches a few of them.
You know what would be ideal for James Vick now would be to go. With to sit down and go, right, the thing that we're going to work on this next training camp is you not leaning back to get away from punches.
Yeah.
And you're going to fight Mike Perry.
Awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then that's the perfect person to test whether you're going to slip into that tendency when you're under pressure.
Amazing.
Or not. And then you put him against loads of people that throw overhand rights and big looping punches.
Yeah.
Like if you can break that habit, I think he's got a good chance in this division. If you give him a decent tie clinch as well. I mean, imagine what you'd do with a decent tie clinch.
Especially the length of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think people should be discouraged if they move up a weight class and they lose their first fight.
No.
Because there are a lot of things that change. And Nico Price is not a small welterweight either.
He's dangerous.
And like I said, he's all elbows and knees. He's like
all sixes and sevens.
All sixes and sevens. Remember Tio who used to train with? It didn't matter whether he was hitting you or you were hitting him. It always felt like someone was hitting you with an elbow.
Always hurt.
Because it was always sharp and bony. It was like, well, kick him in the ribs
out.
And hurt your foot. You know what I mean?
He was torn and stretched out, wasn't he?
He was. Right. Cron Gracie. I have to have a little moan, a little complain.
Yeah, he tricked me, didn't he?
tricked you.
He tricked me. He gave me the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, did you think he was really good?
I thought after he fought Caceres.
I was hoping. I was hoping
like,
so
oh
much.
Man, Caceres is the fucking boy. He's no slouch. He knows his shit. And then after what he did to Caceres, you've got to remember Cub Swanson is a fucking wily vet.
Mm.
And he just put it on him. And he looked amazing. I think what disappointed me more than anything was Cron's reaction to, I won that fight.
Yeah.
I think, well...
How?
You kind of didn't. And then I didn't realise that Cron was a flat earther. And I'm not saying anyone's wrong or right. But
I think we can when it comes to flat earth.
I kind of need someone...
I think we can.
I kind of need someone to sit down and give me a really good argument on this because it's just like... It's just like a joke that got out of hand, I think. It's like in a couple of years, someone will go, it's not flat earth, it's not a globe, it's the Matrix. And you'd be like, fuck off. If someone came now and said, we're all plugged into the Matrix, that's the next flat earth thing. You'd just be like, take your fucking shit glasses off and your trench coat and fuck off. That's bollocks. And it's as close as it needs to be because it's just, it is pub talk.
Yeah. Imagine if the earth was flat and dogs could talk.
Fuck off, Dave. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I had a theory once, like, if dogs took over, what type of dog would take what roles? So like a beef eater would probably be a Doberman and like a lawyer or a solicitor would be a bulldog.
Yeah.
Jack Russell would be a chav with a flick knife.
Would a boxer be a boxer?
No, it's too obvious.
Is it?
Yeah, too obvious. Mm. No, they ended their career because they had a glass jaw, so they had to like train up the fucking chihuahuas or something.
I see.
Do you know what I mean? Right. With big fucking frilly shorts on, full Mexican proper boxers.
Yeah, yeah.
So come back to
mariachi
thought.
Music.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With like the Pringles band behind
them. What was that tangent?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, my brain went there one day and I was thinking about
it was like
dogs.
Rude Boy and the Dweebs.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Yeah, Rude Dog.
Remember that.
So when I was thinking that, I was like, oh man, I'm glad that's trapped in my brain because that's stupid as fuck. I tried to explain it to my wife once and she just looked terrified. So I was like, I won't do that again. So it just makes me think that the flat earth was blurted out to someone and that person was then like, you'll never guess what Psycho Steve said at the pub. And his wife was like, no, could be true. And he's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
What the fuck? They've started making models.
Yeah. He does, yeah. Yeah, if anybody, Mark Goddard's called out everybody, every flat earther
out
there.
Yeah, just give me a clue. Because and then it's like, a lot of things I like to work on fact. And it's like, when you go, well, someone went up in a rocket and they could see the curvature of the earth. And it's like, fake news. Well, you could say that to anything. The Matrix thing could be real then. Because with every bit of evidence that fucking debunks that, you go, that's fake.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
The Matrix is more likely than the earth being flat.
Oh man, it's just associating as a fucking
we live
penguin
on a donut.
Yeah, yeah. It's
the Earth's shaped like a donut,
mate,
with a hole in the middle.
My favorite thing that I saw the other day on social about something like that was a wheelie bin that we have in England, just a dustbin, and it was a green
trash
one,
can.
A trash can, and it was a green wheelie bin, and someone had written on it, "I associate myself as a blue wheelie bin." I was like, there you go.
That's the 21st century we're living in.
Thoughts in your own head. Just leave them in there. That's fine.
I was just disappointed with... He thought like the earth's flat and like the octagon was endless and he just followed Cub Swanson in circles. He had no footwork.
No.
He had his boxing was less than intelligent.
But he had
so
Cub tired. He had Cub
like,
tired.
Like you're Hicks and Gracie's son. Yeah. Hicks and Gracie wouldn't have fought like that. Like, I don't know the man, of course. I only know him from his fights and his career and the legend that is Hickson Gracie. But I always felt like Hickson was much more on the martial path of, I've got to effectively deal with this problem in front of me, right? They were from the no time limits.
Yeah. How do I nullify that?
Yeah.
I've got this
game plan. Like, and how, like, I'll hold on to this guy for 45 minutes till he's tired so I'm not taking any damage, right? That was old school Gracie mentality. I am walking him in. I'm going to go walk in circles and take as many punches as he can throw at me.
That's it.
That's a finite game plan. That's not going to work for very long.
No.
Someone's going to catch him with a shot and knock him out cold. Or they're going to hit him with a cut and those cuts are going to stay with him forever. And then he's going to have the same problem that the Diaz brothers have got.
Exactly.
Where you sneeze near him and they open up.
Yeah. I think the last time, other than the Matt Hughes and Hoyce, that you saw a Gracie chasing someone and pay for it, was probably Hoyce against, was it Dan Severn?
Yeah.
With UFC 3, where he couldn't come out and win that UFC because basically it looked like someone's dad had beat the shit out of him.
Was that when he had the massive swelling on his eye?
Yeah.
It was closed.
Well, Hoyce is smaller than me, I think. And this Dan Severn is just, he's literally a Mack truck with a moustache and he just beat the fuck through
still,
him.
He still is.
Still, for real. But like,
I have a photograph of him rear naked choking John Gooden. It makes John Gooden look like a toothpick.
Is that what happened to John's neck?
Yeah, that's why he's so long. Yeah.
He used to be like this, and now it's like, what happened? Dan Severn did this. I can fit four bow ties in there now. Cheers, Dan. Fucking hell. That's scary. But when you look at Kron, like he didn't seem to imply his own game plan.
No.
Really? I don't know if he thought he was going to take him down easier.
I don't know what's going on with like that. That it's it seems like gyms, like the mentality of a gym can be quite infectious. Like you look at different gyms, and I think back to the old Roughhouse days, we were sprawl and brawl. That was our thing. Like we would defend takedowns and try and knock people out. That was whole game was about that. Even when people came to the gym, like Jimmy Warlead came over, and Jimmy was predominantly a judo guy, take
you,
him
you
down,
hit people
beat
in
him
our
up
gym.
On the floor. Yeah. Now we defend takedowns, Jimmy, we knock them out. And it was like that mentality permeated the whole team.
Completely.
And then if you look at like you go shoot box. The shoot box mentality was just
win or die,
buzzsaw, just wild, and you can see like characteristics of different gyms, like the SBG, everyone's like a Conor McGregor clone, and you know, it seems like the scrap pack, and I would say that Gilbert Melendez is probably the best out of that as far as his technical striking goes, but he's still susceptible to low kicks. He has a really long stance. He walks people down. I mean, like they all do the same thing. They kind of follow people around and they take too many punches as they're on the way in. And I wanted when I see Cron Gracie's training with the Diaz brothers, I'm thinking that's exciting because he's going to be dealing with high pressure boxing, which means that he's going to approach it the same way he would with his jiu-jitsu, which is going to be slick and intelligent,
completely.
Make good decisions.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he absorbed their boxing style and he's not even as effective as they are with it.
No.
And I just wanted him to be better. I wanted him to be. I'd love to know what was going on in Hickson's mind as he was in the corner of Cron. Like what he would have said to him in the corner between rounds. Like I don't remember hearing any coaching from him.
No, I can't remember listening.
But like what are you doing?
I was
would
just
be the
gutted.
First thing I'd say. What are you doing?
What we're playing?
Yeah. What's the game plan here?
But we've seen that quite. You've even said that yourself. Was it? When you've had a fight and Jimmy screamed at you, like, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I think that's not a dig at Cron, but is it that he knows how good he is and how it semped easy against Alex Serres? I'm not taking anything away from Alex, and I'm not saying that it was easy, but it was almost like he knew he was going to try. It's almost like Ronda armbarring someone.
Yeah.
The amount of times Ronda armbarred someone after she was known for armbarring people was terrifying because you think, hold on a minute.
You know she's going to do it.
You know she's going to just come out like Quagmire arms when he's found porn. It's like, just try and armbar me now, motherfucker. Yeah. You might not be able to move because you've got gorilla arms, but you ain't going to fucking armbar me.
Yeah.
And when someone doesn't defend that or change from that, you're like, what's he done? And
let's know what all the black belts around the world are thinking to that armbar defense. Just get gorilla arms.
Yeah.
That's the solution.
Well, their solution is, come over here and I'll show you. Everyone's jiu-jitsu thing is just that thing. You know when you start talking to someone about jiu-jitsu and they start like wrapping their arm, you're like, what are you doing? What? I don't want to roll. And they're like, yeah, come on, just a little. Just a, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do that sometimes. Gary does that a lot.
Yeah.
Gary Donald does that, doesn't he? He'll walk up to you like a wrestling stance. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mystery does because he's one of those kind of guys. It's like, oh, fuck, we're fighting.
Yeah, I don't mind. But I don't like when I'm not expecting it, and like it's just like to quote Cal Pacino, it's a bit of a creamy manhandler. I've just got someone's like, ooh, and I'm like, oh, and it makes you dead self conscious of your lumps or whatever you've got, and you're like,
your lady lumps,
and it's, yeah, my fucking bumps, and they're like, been eating a lot of Snickers. It's like, fuck off, cowboy does. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, so I was disappointed for Cron, but I think it was more, it's that pressure of being unbeaten again and the lineage that he's coming from. To me, when Bisping lost to Rashard, they both went into that unbeaten. And Bisping lost. A really close decision. And after that, he almost seemed to relax into his position. Maybe a bit too much. But he then didn't have that whole unbeaten thing hanging over him. And I think that happens a lot of times where you see someone and it's more about maintaining that. Like GSP did it to a degree. He was finishing people and then he was just making sure he wasn't losing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was after the Matt Serra knockout when he took less
completely.
Risks.
Completely. Yeah, for sure. And it's one of them where Cron, it almost like he had to show face to the scrap pack to say, well, I didn't lose that. And you're like, well, the Overeem and Stipe loss.
Yeah. You know, I guillotined
like,
him, he tapped.
He tapped. He's like, okay, let's watch that back. And it's like, oh, Joe.
Yeah.
You can't put him on blast like that because Overeem's eyes, one was going to the shop, the other one was coming back with fucking chips.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he was like, watching him back going, any minute. He's like, it's finished, dude. Yeah. That's the replay. It's gone.
No, this is the wrong video. I'm not wearing those shorts.
Yeah.
Oh I am.
Yeah. It's like a dream. He's wearing his mum's slippers or something. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
The Demolition Man.
Yeah.
So, I was disappointed. But then
Joanna looked amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Scary amazing.
Yeah. And I felt for Michelle because she's fucking brilliant.
Mm.
But You know when Ioana does a kick? It's like... It's like you've got Dalsimov Street Fighter, or you've got fucking Plasticine. It's just a whoosh, it's some, like, you know the film with Adam Sandler with the Zohan where he kicks someone around the face without him even knowing. Yeah. Michelle, her kicks, she's got that amazing axe kick, or when she can kick a bottle off someone's head, but they have to be 3 centimeters away from her. Whereas Ioana was the other side of the cage, just going, whoosh, come on, kick me back. And she was trying to kick her. And there was times when Michelle had opened up and she threw a combo at one point, and I was like, I even stood up. I was like, yo, fuck it. And then Ioana just came back with like 4 shots. I was thinking, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe don't try and hit her again.
Yeah.
And she's going to get fucked up.
That's the thing with Ioana as well, is she throws volume. And she's really good. And that's the benefit in training Muay Thai, is as they receive a kick, it's not like I'll block this kick or I'll move out of the way. It's like, this is the start of my combination.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the time, like you'll see Muay Thai fighters when they're shadow boxing, they'll start with a block and then the combination will come after that.
Sorry. Ooh. My bad. I've got to pick the kids up, not drop them off. I can tell you a story about dropping the kids off in a minute. That's terrifying. But yeah, carry on. The Muay Thai defense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's programmed into people to receive a kick and then return.
Yes.
And you could just see that all the way through the fight. She was just able to maintain that pressure on Michelle. And
but I think Michelle in the past has had it her way, where she's kicked someone and they've sort of gone, ooh. Whereas Ioana was like, ha, call that a kick? And she fully Mick Dundee'd her with a fucking comeback. Which it was one of them where it was that fast, mate.
She looked bigger as well.
She did
look bigger.
So talking about her looking bigger
stronger.
And stronger. What about the whole shit for a week before that? Where they were like,
Ioana's
not going to make weight. She even said in one of the interviews, she was like, what day is today? Thursday? What day do I weigh in? I'm like, yeah, too fucking right. Why are you giving her all this extra pressure? I did see a video of her in a bath crying, which was weird because I don't know if it was from this weight cut, but someone said...
Some people just like to have a good cry in the bath though, don't they?
But who's in her team that she trusts where she's like, don't tell anyone this. I really don't have it. I'm a bitch, and I get some biscuits. And it's like, don't film that poor bitch. Like, why? If I was doing something mad sketchy, and like, as an inner part of our circle that was then filmed,
these two would definitely be filming that.
I don't think they'd put it on social though. I don't think they'd sell it to the Sun.
I always pay attention to what.
Imagine, guys.
I always pay attention to what they're wearing in case they've got any kind of new buttons or pins or anything, because they're always trying to find covert cameras and shit. I'm always expecting them to be wearing something that's also documenting the moment, you know? Yeah. You've got to keep an eye on these two. So they would definitely have filmed you if you were doing that. So
all right.
So, but she knew she was being filmed, and I don't know.
It was kind of crazy, I don't think there was. I don't know why there was. Unless it was just...
Maybe it was a psychological ploy that didn't seem to work out.
Or was it just to build up the event?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what I mean? It just sent... I don't know. Is it... Did anyone say it's a new boobs that are the new weight? Because is that not a real thing?
I think
thing?
A lot of people thought it, but you're the first person to say
but
it.
But they weigh more.
Yeah, do they though?
For real?
How much?
I'm not 100% sure. What would you say? B cup? Something like that? I don't know. There's a few pounds each.
Are you imaginary weighing them in your hands?
I was just thinking about the pouches. You know, the silicone pouches?
Yeah, no. Everyone's that's why you've not got the camera on anymore. The wrapped cam's no longer on, so you can...
But, as a fact...
Creeps, all of you.
As a fact, boobs weigh more. They surely do.
Yeah. I don't know what they're made out of. I don't know what the... I mean, not real boobs. Like, you know.
You know what real boobs are made out of, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Simpsons donuts.
Of course.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure. Is that right?
Silicon, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing this a lot, like a teardrop shape, but it's not necessarily the size or the shape or the weight. But yeah, she's got a thought about that. Well, big bags Haribo. They're lumpy boobs, dude. You've gone to the wrong fucking doctor. The silicon set like a dummy, a cola bottle, and an egg. All right. Fucking hell. That's the key. It's a bit off-putting, isn't it? I feel like Haribo Tang Fastics.
Haribo's.
Haribo's, yeah, sour ones. Oh, it's not being breastfed by your grandma. Sorry, dude.
Apologise to my mum.
I will, sorry, Lane. I'm not going to drop the C-bomb this week, but I'm going to tell you a really quick poo story. Because when it happened... Other than me seeing my life being flashed in front of me. And this is a weight loss story, so I can tell it because it's relevant.
Is it a motivational one?
Completely. Dude, good. I was terrified. Like, I've nearly pooed myself a couple of times in the past. But this time, I'm 38 years old. I thought that I'd gone past this stage and I'm all right. So basically, I walk the dogs at the woods every morning and I check my emails, walk around the woods, take them for a quick walk, go home, get to work. And we've got our new dog that was on the podcast months ago that basically we got the new dog, Big Ernie, and he's walking off the lead. So he's wicked. So he's not doing too bad. And it was about halfway round that I started to do that weird walk where you're trying to clamp in and your stomach's got that really long, drawn out stomach ache. And I was like someone's stabbing you. And I was like, oh, that's going to pass. That's going to pass. And then when it did pass, I could almost relax and breathe out. And it was at that point, I won't say turtle's head because that's rude, but it was crowning. And I realized I've got the whole path to go down to get back to the car. Now, it's not just me to get in the car. I've got two dogs that are absolutely filthy. And I've now got this beautiful Mercedes, thank you, by the way, which has got leather interior and it's an automatic, which is important for a reason in a second. And so I've got Ben, and he's the older dog, as you know, and I'm trying to wipe his feet and trying to sort of, it's like herding piss at this point with the dogs because they both want to go different ways. And people are stopping me on the way back. Oh, how's he getting on? Is he good? And I'm like, oh, God. And this stabbing pain's coming back. My stomach's just screaming because if I breathe out at any point, I'm done. This is going to be like liquid shit. So I'm fucking scared at this point. Run back to the car and I've got Ben and I clean him up and I put him in the back. And then Ernie starts fucking around and I'm trying to clean him up. So then as that happens, I'm trying to chuck the towel back in the boot and the boot's like a slow close, an automatic one. It's like bing, 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 which now gives me nightmares. And the whole time on my tiptoes, sort of dancing, thinking I could shit in that field. I could go over there. I've got poo bags. Have I got tissue? And I'm trying to think of all these countermeasures to how to deal with shitting in the woods. And the whole time just thinking, no, I can make it, I can make it, I make it. And then almost crying, getting in the car. And because it's automatic, the car will only start if it's in park. So I went to start and put it into gear and it did the what, but I got it into gear at that point. And then I didn't know, every time I tried to turn the key, there was nothing. Like it didn't turn, didn't make a noise. And I was like, and I've got both dogs climbing all over me going, can we have a biscuit when we get in? I'm like, yeah, you can have two. Fucking hell, of course you can. So I was dancing about. I fucking managed to realise that was happening. I pulled out in front of someone, cut someone up, drove home full bollocks, pulled on the drive forward. And then I had to get the key in the keyhole. If you've ever done that shaking, and it's a new key, so it's like got the, I imagine if you look down a microscope, the end of the metal is kind of frayed. So it's got to be precision. You've got to spit on it to fit the fucker in. And I was just stood there, and both the dogs are jumping around my feet. And now I'm going in the back door, which is our new extension, which has got the old back door here, and I've hidden the key. So that I can go out the back door. I don't go out the front door. I go out the back door, lock the internal back door and hide the key. I'm not telling you where, but I had to find that fucker. With the dogs around my feet, I ran into the toilet and breathed out. And I must have lost 14 pounds. But it was literally, as my bum swung, as it went round, it was like a lob shot. It's like a whoop. I sat there shaking for a good 20 minutes. Didn't talk to anyone. Like, literally, I was breathing like I'd ran a marathon. It was fucking horrible. So, yeah, I nearly shat in the car and the automatic thing killed me. But as soon as it happened, I just shakily took my phone out to the guy that said I make notes on my phone. It's fucking true, dickhead. But I had to write, nearly shat myself in Dan's car. Nearly shit my pants. Dan's car is literally what it says.
Oh,
it was fucking horrible, dude. Sorry.
Oh, my abs are aching.
It was a terrifying part of my life. You must have nearly shit yourself before. Must have done. You have, haven't you? Go on. Make me feel. You have shit yourself. Okay. So your story starts. I took the dogs for a walk. Shit myself. That's it. Oh, that got shit on them.
Well,
I don't think so.
That's a crazy orgy, that, isn't it?
Well, we'll bring you another shit story next week. There we go. We've got the shit segment. Mystery's turn next week.
Yeah. What, on that topic, very quickly, one thing, I've been doing some home improvements, and I was at IKEA, and this is how kids can embarrass you. I went in, and I was stood in the toilet, and all I heard was this kid's voice going, That's disgusting. Daddy, And you can hear this dad sort of going, sorry, shh, it's okay, just carry on. Just like, really trying to like keep him quiet. She's like, hey, daddy, why is your wee brown? Fucking hell. It smells like sugar puffs. Like, what the fuck? How does that, like, how the fuck? You can't put your hand over a kid's mouth. You're not allowed anymore. So could you imagine? I just felt for this dad that he was obviously so embarrassed. And it's like, I've been drinking a lot of Guinness. Just fuck off. Yeah, a lot of shit problems.
I'm going to move this along to this weekend's card, because otherwise...
Saturdays, right?
I could just feel this spiralling down in shit stories over and over again.
No, Elaine will disown me. Again.
I have a good story I'll share with you next week about me running up a hill, a pile of earth, which I thought was a pile of earth and wasn't. It was a pile of shit, and I sank into it.
Yes, I remember that story. Yeah, but it's a fantastic story.
I think I've even got a photo of when I walked out and I was just covered head to toe in.
If your dad got that picture, he is just one dad of the year.
No, he didn't. No, I was there with it. I was there on a school trip.
Oh man, whichever teacher, whichever legend went from being like, help the kid, take a picture, help. And it's not even a phone back in the day.
No,
it's not in your pocket. It's like, pass me that disposable camera. Just wait for the flash.
Stay there. Flash has got to warm up.
Click. Okay.
But miss, it smells.
I've got hepatitis C. You're all right. Get the jet wash on him.
Yeah, that was a fun story. We'll save that one for next week.
Yeah, that's shit segment.
So there's a couple of good fights on this card this weekend.
Fucking loads, dude.
Yeah. I mean, the rematch between Yair Rodriguez, Jeremy Stephens.
If he doesn't die, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's a Rocky statement. That's like a ring the bell, ding, ding kind of thing, innit?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just want to see
him spark him in 14 seconds.
This might not ever be resolved.
Or just Olympic eye poke. Like a real like, fencing move, like a bunk. Now what?
Yeah.
Well, it's a no contest. Yeah, but does it hurt? Can you carry on? And some fucker just trying to open it.
Yeah.
Just an eye for an eye, literally.
So it's 50-50 and then we have a rubber match where they don't poke each other in the eyes.
They have to wear boxing gloves.
We wear boxing gloves, yeah.
Or like baby mittens.
Yeah, mittens. That's a good... MMA mittens.
Oh, man.
I think we're onto something there.
Definitely.
I must have some MMA mittens somewhere.
There will be some.
There'll be some somewhere. These are quite close.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I'm looking forward to
that. You know what they're really good for? I bought them. Where was I? I was in London. I bought them from a shop in London, a martial arts shop. And we were staying in a hotel. It was like a college trip. And we were down there like visiting museums or something. Anyway, so I'm sharing a room with my mate and I'd bought them. He fell asleep early and I just dragged the glove across his face, just real gently. Holy shit. Talk about shit their pants. You want to see the jump on this guy.
Is that like a bone, really?
Clear the mattress, be like a just dragged it along his face. Creepy. It's weird. Look up. Can you imagine?
No. I don't like being made jump for the best of times. So if you wake me up dragging this shit across my face, I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another good one was to get a couple of sandwich bags and put a big scoop of peanut butter in it, knock the top, and then throw that in someone's sleeping bag while they were camping. They wake up in the morning and like... think they'd shit themselves.
You had nice friends. My friends were just on the peanut butter or made me shit myself. Yeah. Like, oh, does it feel like you shit yourself? Yeah. Well, you have. Yeah. You know what I mean? We played white noise to you.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Not nice.
Okay.
That's part of the story.
Right. I'm gonna roll through.
Okay, so what are you saying about Stevens and Yaya?
I think it might be a very frustrating one for Stevens, because I think Yair might try and keep him at a distance.
Completely.
And Stevens is going to try and get to him and be angry.
Yeah.
I mean, Stevens can take a hell of a shot. He's tough as hell. He's got a grudge against Yair Rodriguez for this one. He might be smart. He might try and ground him, beat him up against the fence like Frankie did.
Yeah.
You know, see if he can do some damage to him. But
He's been training with Tony Ferguson, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's next level.
Yeah.
You know, when you got Tony Ferguson... El Kakui running up a mountain behind you going, I'm going to get you. You ain't fucking stopping.
That means he's probably injured though, if he's been training with Tony Ferguson. He's another one of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how you hit them or they hit you, it hurts.
Yeah.
Because he's like all bones and stuff.
Mate, we met Tony Ferguson.
Did you?
And it was like a Matrix experience. I mean, bear in mind, we were in Vegas. We were living the best life, the whole week, everything fight related. And it was like some sort of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, like, and it's like, all right, Tony. And he's like, and he just sort of stood there, and then he wasn't saying anything, was he? But he was just like a mime artist, and then sort of, I'm thinking, can we like take different pictures and add different speech bubbles to this? It could have been a whole comic strip.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a fucking scary dude, wasn't he?
He was a weird dude.
Yeah.
Strange. He was posing.
Yeah.
Strange,
yeah.
And was he?
Yeah. And had like a real strange aura about it. If he takes that into a fight and you don't know that and then you clinch up with a guy and it's like, you get that real weird feeling. You'd be like, don't like it.
He's a bit like a magician, isn't he? Yeah. Like he's got that magician vibe. Like what's his name? Chris Angel or something.
It's not just Paul Daniels.
Not Paul Daniels. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
for real. Yeah. It was because we basically, I wanted to give him some stuff and like just have a chat with him because obviously we had the camera and stuff. So it was like, we can just interview Ferguson because obviously he should be next in line.
Yeah.
And it was the normal introduction, like, this is what we want to do. And he's just more like, are you not allowed to talk? Yeah, he was crazy. Yeah. And then we got a picture with Slim and we're just like, it was almost like he made us think you should go now. Like, we'll leave now. And he's like, yes, you will. These aren't the droids you're looking for. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. And we sort of walked across the New York bridge in a proper daze. Like,
what just happened?
That's Tony, right? Yeah. Have you still got your wallet? He's like, nope. He's gone. It's crazy. Yeah, he's a scary dude.
He's an interesting cat.
But if him and Jeremy Stevens got together.
Yeah, that's an interesting combo, that is.
Fucking hell. I don't know
anybody that prepares you for Yaya Rodriguez. I mean, maybe Pettis?
Yeah, but the thing is, when Rodriguez is pulling out that crazy backwards up elbow like he did.
Yeah, you can't.
And that's like the
that.
Last 5 seconds of a fight.
Can't prepare for that.
No. And to me, I think it's a lot of, my head says Yair, but my heart says Jeremy Stevens. Mm-hmm. I just want to see him be able to, because Yair Rodriguez has said a lot of stuff. He's been controversial in the past, but this time I just don't see the angle that he's going on with the whole, yeah, he faked it or whatever. Because it was more a case that it's just bollocks.
Mm. When he came up to speak to Karen and I on the post-fight show, he was just so just angry. Like,
yeah.
And like there were a couple of times where he was very accusatory towards Jeremy, and even Karen was like
you know, that's Jeremy's
name. Yeah, like, do you think he would, you know, do you think he would
live
here
for
that?
A month?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he spent 30 odd grand on that training camp or something.
Mate, unless they agreed to take a massive dive for a lot of money to go and live, that's just,
oh, that was crazy as nonsense. Well, because as soon as it happened, as soon as it was waved off, and we were raised up, so I was kind of out of the trajectory of all the beers that were flying, but the whole place just went crazy.
But you know when someone like Robbie Lawler takes a loss to Askren and is fuming for about 3 seconds?
He's like, ah!
Looks at Herb Dean as if to go, okay, I'm going to fucking cuddle you really much.
You're forgiven.
Yeah, instantly. And I think that comes with experience, but Rodriguez has had a lot of fights.
Yeah.
Like, he knows that this is the biggest platform and he knows that this sucks for everyone. It's up to him to get on the mic and go, yo,
yeah,
chill out, everyone. We're going to do it again. It's all good. Viva Mexico and all that shit. But
I think that's the problem. I think he felt like he owed so much to the people that had come. Mm. So like he felt like they'd been let down, and he was on their side of it because he felt like he'd been let down as well.
Did you think it was almost that he was like a kid that was mad that you'd caught them out because it was kind of his fault because he'd done the eye poke?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, because it was his responsibility. It's not like
he's got to be mad at someone, and he can't be mad at himself.
Yes.
So he's got to be mad at Jeremy. Yeah. That's kind of how it felt a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy's eye looked on that when they did the interview with the towel around his neck, and he went full Rocky, and he was like, "Yeah, either dies or it doesn't count."
Yeah,
I'm fucking. This isn't
that's
a game.
Scary
this
Jeremy
isn't a
Stevens
sport.
Though. That's the version that you don't really want to fight.
Yeah, I just don't want to see the bite down Jeremy Stevens swinging because
I do
want to see that if it connects.
Kind of do,
but you know, if it's that big Jeremy Stevens swing and he just goes, yeah, and just does that really
front
careful
kick to the face as he runs in, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully Jeremy does the business. I think he's absolutely got the backing of everyone in the MMA community.
Well, that's
the
problem.
About six people on Yair Rodriguez's side that's like, come on, Yair. And that's his mum, and she can't really not.
Well, there was a real different feeling towards Rodriguez before the first fight. Yeah. You know, like in Mexico, everyone was like, oh, you know, these two are such nice guys. I don't really know who I want to win. And now it seems that the way he reacted to the way the fight ended, most people have kind of gone, yeah, Jeremy should get one back here.
Because even if he wins, does he go full douchebag and just dig himself a digger hole and go, I fucking told you, fuck this guy? Or is he going to go, all right, a lot of things were said. We're friends now.
Yeah, we've all had a drink.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
I don't know.
I hope it's chill out. Because the thing is, Yair Rodriguez didn't want to fight Jeremy Stephens in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he didn't want the fight. He wanted to keep moving up the rankings. So I think Rodriguez is below him now in the rankings. I think Stephens is below him in the rankings now.
I always like that when someone doesn't want to fight the lower ranks and then gets bingoed.
Yeah.
It always cheers me up. Do you know what I mean? When someone's like, who even is that guy? And it's like, oh, he's got your fucking scalp.
Yeah.
It's like a death wish. You don't say stupid shit like that, because there is a instant fucking like equalizer. And if it's Stephen's right hook, he's like, he puts a snooker ball in a sock. I can't remember the guy he put up against the cage, but it was the third round. I think was he a Brazilian?
Yeah.
And he literally went...
Was it Charles Oliveira?
Clink.
He has wicked work to the body as well.
Yeah. He's just old school. No, that Oliveira was a third round.
Moicano?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the... This is the fight I'm looking forward to on the card. Gillian Robertson against Macy Barber. Gillian Robertson, I think she's going to be taking over this division soon. I think she's on a bit of... Well, she's talented. She's very, very talented. And we watched her train in American Top Team, and she's slick. She's working with Din Thomas. Been working with Din Thomas for... Well, how old is she now? 24. So, what, 8 years she's been working with Din Thomas? Ground game's very, very good.
American Top Team.
Oh, it's her birthday. Look at that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Although I was 13 when she was born, so...
Nice.
Not quite sure her birthday, but happy birthday to... Well... Shared birthday with me. Yeah, anyway,
back in March.
I think that's a good fight, because I think Macy Barber, she's young and aggressive. She's a bit wild. Can she be subdued by Gillian Robertson? Does she get taken down and rear naked choke like, you know, a lot of people do? That's a fun one. Marty
American
McCann
Top
on the card.
They've got the secret sauce at the minute, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting in and getting a new coach, and if you walk in and Mike Brown's there and you get Mike Brown or you get Din Thomas or Conan, it's like... Oh, there's no bad option.
And that's the thing as well, is that you're exactly right. There are so many good options, and no matter who you're fighting, there's a coach there that's applicable to your game plan, no matter what it is.
And I think each of those coaches would call each other up, or there's no ego with
apart
Mike Brown or Din Thomas.
Not with
the
coaches.
They're going to say, oh, you know when I saw him? Because sometimes a coach will stand back. Wayne used to do it a lot at Fourth Dimension, and I know his base is Muay Thai. But the amount of times where... It would never be a big thing, but he would bring a coach into the gym or into the office and be like, oh, you know when they were doing this?
Mm.
And it might just be to set up a takedown that's not his base. So they go, fucking hell, we'll try that. And the amount of times you'd see people that go, fucking hell, nice one, brother. Fucking respect.
Yeah, yeah.
Or other times you see people go, all right. Well, my ego is going to take me out of there and not bring me back, fuckface. So,
and you can tell immediately how they receive
straight
it.
Straight away.
Well. Yeah,
yeah, no. It's that purse-lipped Deirdre face up.
Yeah. But it's like the thing with ATT, like those guys have been around each other for a long time. Like Mike Brown's been a part of American Top Team since, well, when I went out there training in, what, 2002, Mike Brown was there.
That's insane.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. Same with Din Thomas, same with Conan Silveira. So they're all invested in the team. They've all worked alongside each other. And the likelihood is, you know how it is, like when you're building something, like the companies that we're building at the moment, when you bring in someone in, like they've kind of got to be validated as a character
completely
by everybody else.
Yeah.
So if you've already got a good core of people, if they go, I want to bring this Thai boxing coaching from Brazil, or I want to bring this wrestling coaching from the US, or whoever it is, if one person in the team, if Conan Silveira says this guy's all right, I'm like, if Conan says they're good, they're good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I think that they've built a team with that principle, with a good core that's just expanded to a bigger skill set. And I mean, what they've got, 5 striking coaches, 6 striking coaches there, loads of people on the mat for jiu-jitsu. So and that's another thing as well, body types. Like there'll be someone that's very similar to Macy Barber that Gillian Robertson can be working with.
Yeah.
You know, someone stylistically very similar as well.
And she has experienced a loss. And I think, I know it's wicked to be unbeaten. It's fucking amazing. But
not at that age, though. You don't
to experience that, it completely changes stuff. The amount of people that, like GSP, like you said, when GSP, I know he lost to Matt Hughes, which massively changed him, massively. And then he lost
to... For the better, though, you know what I mean?
Oh, completely, yeah. I mean, to tap to an armbar at the end of the first round, like 1 second to go, because he was beating Matt Hughes that first time.
And that was a good armbar as well.
It fucking was, and it was fast.
It was a Kimura setup, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he just flipped.
Step over. No, your neon belly.
No, he flipped, and then he went... I'm sure he went. Did he go neon belly?
Neon belly.
He could have done. Send your answers on a postcard. Yeah, send it in.
Yeah.
But I think the amount of times, I've said it a million times, that I love to see someone get beat, see how they come back. Mm-hmm. Anderson Silva, all these guys, even like John Jones.
Yeah.
I'm sort of buzzing to see the Israel Adesanya against Jones fight. I've got nothing against John Jones. I really like the guy. I've met him a couple of times and he was actually surprised. He's a really sound bloke. Same as Israel when we met him in Vegas. Really sound bloke. But I love the narrative that's being built. I'm not really bothered about the Israel and Costa. I'm more about Jones and, and Israel because I want to see that loss. I want to see what the thing, they do.
Though, like, you've met them both. Like, Jones is a lot bigger.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like, Jones is a decent bit bigger. And that, I just think that's a bigger problem than people are paying attention to.
Yeah.
I think if we saw them face off, people would go, well, I'd still watch the fight, but now I kind of think that Jones is going to be too much.
I think knowing that Anderson Silva went up twice and beat James Irvin and beat Forrest, I think he beat them both before they got in there, to be fair. But the fact that Israel Adesanya has fought Anderson and they looked similar, he didn't look, because Anderson looks thicker.
Mm-hmm.
He looks dad weight, whereas Israel's more stretched out and looks a bit more chiseled.
But then if you go back to Anderson Silva when he was Adesanya's age, he looked very much the same. Yeah. So the likelihood is Adesanya will grow.
So I can't not see it. Whereas they're talking about him against Stipe at the minute, which... What?
Who, John Jones?
No, Israel against Stipe.
That don't make any sense.
Not at all.
Do that? Who's talking about that?
Israel's...
The same people talk about the earth being flat.
Maybe.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but
it's like this thing with McGregor and Edgar coming out. I mean, I want the opportunity for Frankie Edgar, of course, and I think, you know, Frankie's one of my favourites. It'd be great to see him have the opportunity, and I think he's got a good chance of winning as well. But like, he was going down to bantamweight.
Yeah,
like McGregor's fought at welterweight. Like, they're different ends of the spectrum at this point.
The problem is, it would be considered an easy fight for the relaxed fan. Frankie against Conor would be considered an easy fight. Which I think is fucking insane. Yeah.
No, it's not. But at the same time, it's, you know...
But it doesn't make any sense to do.
In Conor's favour because of the size advantage that he's got.
Yeah.
It just disappoints me that he's like fishing around for a fight outside of his division. But when there's clearly a bunch of guys in the top 15 at lightweight. Fight one of them. Yeah. Unless you move him back down to featherweight.
That's not going to happen.
He's not going to do it.
He's had a boob job since then. They weigh quite a lot.
You mean he's been a bit of a tit since then, is what you mean?
Oh, massive, massive.
I hope that, I just want him to get back on track, and I'm sick of this constant, like, oh, is he fighting again? And every time there's a big fight that's in his weight class, there's a tweet or a post from him. It's like, just fight, man.
Yeah,
either do it or don't. You know,
there was never any question before because he seemed to back up what he said within a few weeks.
Yeah,
didn't matter if it was the Jose tour. Didn't matter if it was when you watched the footage of him against Poirier. It didn't really matter. He always came and he pretty much delivered to do what he was going to do. And he pretty much delivered it. And the disappointing thing now is that you find yourself almost justifying him a little bit. And I really like Conor. I respect what he's done and I'm impressed by how he's performed. But it's almost down to when Bisping fought GSP,
mm-hmm.
one of my mates had never seen GSP. And they were like, oh, he's going to get smashed. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's George St. Pierre. And he was like, yeah, he's going to fucking flatten him. Trust me. And I was like, oh no, that's GSP. And he's like, yeah, but I'll bet you whatever. He's definitely going to win. I was like, mate, let me just take you on a bit of a journey. And the thing is, you're almost doing that now with Conor because it's been a couple of years. And for what he did and how he Mystic Megged everything he said he was going to do, it's now a shame to see that he can afford to sit back and sort of pick and choose.
Yeah.
And it's going to be detrimental to him, I feel, in the long run because... It's been a while. Mm. It's been a long fucking while. And someone like Frankie, who's just absolute... He's been against taller dudes like Ben Henderson and stuff like that. So,
well, he was the lightweight champion. There's no doubt that Frankie's a tough fight for him. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like, you can't fight Frankie Edgar, even if it's at 55. He can't get a win over Frankie Edgar and then get a title shot against Khabib. And that's going to be the play.
Yeah.
I've got the top 15 pulled up in front of me now. Like, the bottom of the pile, top 15, is Islam Makhachev.
Okay.
Like, you can start there, and any one of those guys. And I get why he wants to fight Frankie Edgar, because I wouldn't want to fight any of those guys in comparison to Frankie Edgar. No.
Where's Frankie on there? Is Frankie even on
there? No, he's not even on the top 15 list. We've got Makhachev, Alexander Hernandez, Charles Oliveira, Pettis, Gregor Gillespie, who's fighting... Is it this weekend?
Not this weekend.
It's coming up soon, though, isn't it?
Isn't he on the New York card?
I believe so.
I don't know.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Postcard.
My brain's got too much MMA in it. So Gillespie, Kevin Lee, Edson Barbosa, Ali Aquinta. Like, Ali Aquinta would be a good fight for McGregor if he wants a, if he wants a more comfortable fight in this
especially
weight class.
Especially after you've just seen what Dan Hooker did.
For sure, yeah. Dan Hooker, he's the next one up. Felder would be a good fight for McGregor.
I think Poirier.
Cowboy is an obvious one.
Poirier or Cowboy would be...
Like, but oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, I'd like that fight.
I'd take that fight. I mean, I didn't make featherweight for that one.
Dude.
But, like, fighting Frankie Edgar makes no sense. No. There's no... Like, the only benefit is... Frankie gets a potential shot at McGregor to make a big chunk of cash because he's on the way out of his career for sure.
Yeah.
You know, moving down to bantamweight might refresh it, but it's not going to give him any more years of life. You know, he's still going to be hitting that point at some point where he's got to step away no matter what weight class he's in.
But does it matter who Conor fights if he sprinkles a little bit of that McGregor magic into the build-up and it makes everyone forget because the narrative from
forget
the UFC...
What?
But, you know, because everyone... Ugh. I'm not justifying this.
No, I know.
I'm being devil's advocate. Because the thing is, essentially, the UFC need Conor to have another fight to be able to call for a championship fight. Really.
But it's got to be a relevant one.
But to them, if it is a Frankie and they're doing him the favour and he gets his red panty night, and Conor's then said he's going to donate his purse to charity, which... He can blow up into a bigger thing because essentially all he needs is a reason to be on the mic. And he can talk Frankie up quite easily to say, he's a fucking champion. You don't know what you're talking about. Blah, blah, blah. He's not on the rankings because it wouldn't be fair because he's a fucking killer or whatever. Thinking that he could probably beat him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Just one point on the donating the purse to charity. Because initially when I read that, I thought to myself, oh, that's very cool. But that won't be included in pay-per-view points.
Of course not.
Like, the purse will go to charity. The pay-per-view points will go to Conor, which will be millions in comparison to his purse.
There's
which
your
$39.99,
boys. Oh, there's 2 milli.
Yeah. No.
Of course.
He's playing the game well, isn't he? Punched an old man in the face. He's got to do something now. I mean, opinions changed of him. Everybody that I speak to, they're just sick of hearing his name now. Especially, not general fans, no, perhaps not. But in the media, like behind the scenes, you talk to people in the media, everybody's like, just like give us a story or just get out of the way.
That's the problem. You know? I think before it was diluted with the fact that he was performing and doing what he does. Well, he was doing something good. He was showing us how he's changing MMA as we see it.
Yeah.
And because now, it might be that he's bored or whatever it is, but I mean, there's got to be a thing that's in his head that the minute that punch left and connected, he was like, "God, you fucking idiot."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I hope so.
Well, it's like hitting your brother or your sister as a kid and they start to cry and you panic before your mum hears. You're like, oh, stop. I'll give you all my micro machines. And they're like, what else? You know, okay. I'm my He-Man. And they're like, I want that scale electric. Oh, fucking hell. Just don't tell mom. Do you know what I mean? And he didn't. He seemed to do it and then almost go back into that character of himself and justify what he'd done. And
yeah,
it's on video, dude. Even with his, there was a lot of pubs that started tipping his whiskey down the toilet, which was fucking insane. You paid for it.
Yeah.
At least give it to a fucking homeless dude. I don't know.
Right.
But they were tipping it away. But it was, to me...
At least give it to someone with an alcohol problem.
Well, yeah. Like, they're going to buy it or they're going to rob someone's house to fucking get it. It's not fair. Like, they could hook them up. Right. They could look after them. I don't like seeing waste. So, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't seem like a completely thought out plan.
Uh-huh.
The Frankie thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's a... And at the minute, like we know ourselves with fighters that we know, they go, yeah, I've got my contract. You got your contract. It's signed.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So we're on that path now.
Yeah.
It's almost like he wants to play the field across the board and have a word with everyone and have an issue with everyone and then eventually come out. Because you're seeing him at Bellator and different events and he's still walking the walk, but we're not seeing a lot of the talk. And I kind of miss the hype and I miss the build up because he can fucking play a camera
for sure.
Anyone. I love seeing that. I'd love to see him fight Poirier.
Yeah.
I think Poirier wants that back.
That's the fight that makes the most sense to me. Dustin Poirier, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, it's easily justified by the UFC because if someone turns around and goes, oh, on a fucking minute, he's not fought in 3 years and he's had a loss, and they'll be like, yo, Dustin's an ex-champ, interim champ, and that's his last loss. And he wants Michael Johnson knocked Poirier out, didn't he?
Yes.
So it was Conor, Johnson, Khabib.
Yes.
So I think that's right. I don't know.
I think you're right.
To give that back to Poirier, it'd be fucking brilliant. Mm. And Poirier's in a different place. So it would be a tough fight that you, after it, no matter what, you could be like, all right, Connor. Yeah, you,
exactly.
You can have another go.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets to show us a bit of his fucking skills again, because he was always evolving and it was always interesting to see what's coming out.
Mm.
I mean, the fight against Eddie Alvarez, we'll have to watch that and remember that fight or
yeah,
something, because it's fucking insane.
Yeah. Yeah, people like remember that fight. We've got loads planned for that, so don't panic. We saw a lot in the comments, people going, oh, that's a good idea, want more of this. We've got loads of plans, and plans to get fighters in to watch their own fights. Yeah. We want to do one with Mark Goddard where we watch a couple of bits, maybe one of the fights where he referees with me.
That'd be good.
Maybe the first round of Matt Thought where I scramble out of an armbar like that and he left it when I think a lot of referees would have probably stepped in to save my arm. But
I did like the comment that said, are you only reviewing your fights? And I was like, all right, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Then starts Billy walking in like, do you remember that fight? It's like, we've seen them all.
Yeah.
We've been through them
yeah,
all.
Yeah, but I've had some more thoughts.
It's 2027.
I think we're
going to
watch this one in reverse. I'm going to talk through it backwards.
Like a mirror track on Mario Kart. Would you do it backwards?
Yeah. Right, let's start. How long are we doing for time? This feels like it's been a while, hasn't it?
Shit,
yeah,
sorry.
Oh shit, okay. Well, we've done a war room for the main event for this weekend, so that's up there. So go and check the war room out for Dominic Reyes against Chris Weidman. Quick, give me your prediction and then we'll wrap it.
I'm worried for Weidman, really worried for him, because he wasn't taking a shot well in the middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the killers, he's fucking beaten Vitor on TRT.
Mm-hmm.
He's beaten Anderson twice, one of them controversial. He's beaten Lyoto Machida. But the problem is he keeps winning and looking good and then getting fucking bingoed in like the third round.
Yeah.
So, I'm worried for him, but I'd like to see Weidman come back. I'd like to see him take him down and get a win.
What's your pick?
Head says Reyes, heart says Weidman.
Okay.
Jeremy Stephens, I want to see him fucking smash him to pieces. I think Robertson wins, Gillian Robertson. Joe Lozon's back.
I know.
That's worrying.
I know. Well, okay. Maybe.
Well, yeah, I'm scared.
I like his skills.
I like Joe Lozon, but I don't like seeing him get knocked out. So that's a veto one.
Yeah.
Greg Hardy's back
against
someone I've never heard of. So that's probably going to be building Greg Hardy up a bit. But he's impressed me each time he's come out.
Anything else? We all good?
The dentist is out there.
Darren Stewart's always good to watch. I'm just not Darren Wynn,
who's undefeated. And he...
I need to have a good look through this card later.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
all good? I reckon we need to wrap this because we've run out of time, aren't we?
Well, you've got a couple of minutes.
We're talking really fast, talking about Molly McCann. Fuck him up.
Yeah.
Is Molly McCann? Yes, she is.
Yeah,
fucking go for it.
Yeah, she's out there.
Is she headlining prelims or the beginning of the prelims?
Second last prelim.
That's a good spot.
Yeah. That's what she is on the Wikipedia page. Anyway, let's wrap it there.
Nice one,
because I need a coffee. Nice one. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.